Father has loved me, Jesus, as much as he loves you. So they love us the same. That intense love that we can't even describe, they love us the exact same. Okay, sorry. I need water. And then it says in Romans 5:5, that they impart into us, his children, that exact same love back to him. They impart it into us. Are you guys following me? Do you see the trend? Okay. As they impart that love in us, we then forth can love him back with the same intensity. Right? Then he says, we are to love ourselves as he loves us. Because we can't love our neighbor. Well, we can love our neighbor, but we won't love them as much as we love ourselves. So if I treat myself like crap, I'm going to love my neighbor the same. Right? So we start by gazing on God, how much he loves us. He invites us into that same trinity of love. Seriously intense. Right? No description for it. Like I said before, it's like, I don't know how our bodies don't explode with that intensity, that we can contain that. But he puts it in us, right? We are to love ourselves in God's love and for God's sake. We love ourselves through the lens of our great worth in him. May the Lamb receive the reward of his sufferings. Guess who the reward is? We are his reward. He wants us to enjoy being loved by him. We magnify Jesus as we love ourselves because we are in agreement with his love for us. We are honoring his investment in our lives. We are magnifying him best by loving and in agreement with him. Okay, I just threw 3 points down. Okay, did you get that? Number one, I got to lay the foundation. The Godhead loves each other intensely, right? Because love is so intense, the manifestation of love has to produce by producing children. They didn't need us, but the love is so intense, they chose to make us and invite us into that exact same family of love, okay? Out of that, we see how much he loves us, which I'm going to describe just a little bit. In Solomon's Songs of Songs, chapter 7, verse 10, it says, I'm my beloved's, and his desire is for me. Right? If you look up, because anybody familiar with Solomon's Songs of Songs? It's supposed to be a description of the bride, right? The Jesus, our groom to the bride, right? If you look up that scripture where it says, my beloved, beloved mayor means to boil towards love, within love. And desire means stretching out after, longing to give in abundance, to overflow, to run after. So he boils for you. His blood boils for you in passion. He's in desire for you. He stretches out after you, giving his love in abundance for you. He overflows. He's running after you. He loves you more than you can even know. He longs for you with a full desire because he is a wholehearted God. Do you guys get that? It's a lot to process, but it's scripture. Look it up, all the scripture. I can throw more at you. When Jesus was baptized, right, the Father said, this is my son. I love him and he is my greatest delight. And I rest within him. Okay, if he invites us into the same Godhead love, this is what he's saying to us. So when we study how they love each other, it's the same for us. God gave everything. He didn't hold back nothing. He says, come in. Come in. I'm giving you full love. Full love. Gaze at me. I mean, the scripture, it's a hard scripture, but the scripture says that that they didn't make it into heaven because they didn't do the works, right? If you look up that scripture, it says they didn't spend time gazing into my eyes. He longs for intimacy with us. Okay? That's what we are created for. The scripture says that the first commandment, are you listening, Gord? The first commandment, he's one of my peeps, so I have to bug him. The first commandment is the highest. in the greatest priority. Every other commandment comes under it. Right? Everyone. Someday I want to do a teaching just on first commandment. It's going to be 12 hours because to love the Lord with all his strength, what does that look like? When we fast, we give God our strength. You're more important to me than my own strength. Do you mean? What does it mean to love God with all our mind? Because we can't afford to think thoughts God is not thinking about us. Our stinking thinking. We got to line that baby up. Right? That's a whole avenue of an own to go through that. Right? So, now, as we spend time with him in that secret place, right? We get filled up in his presence. And that was the picture on the bulletin in fire, right? Is that then we can overflow. But it has to be foundationed. Gazing into his eyes. See him how much he loves us. He invites us into the Godhead love. Then we love ourselves for what he loves us. Then we're overflowing to love others with the same intensity. He commands us. It's actually a command to do this for the body of Christ. It's not just a little la-la thing. He commands us, right? So God loves us. That's the scripture read with the same intensity, right? The Father, he tells us to abide in it. What's abide mean? Does anybody know? What's that? I'm doing this so I can have a drink. What's that? You remain in it. It's your house. You abide in it. You own it. It is you. Right? You abide in it. He tells us to abide in his love and to live in it continually with the same love that Jesus loves us for one another. So this shows us that our Father has a deep desire to have a family, as we described, expressing and sharing his love with one another. He fashioned the human heart to long for intimacy with him and others. He created us with the desire to know and be known. That's in us. We desire to be known, to know and be known. The only way we don't desire is that is when we've been so hurt. But deep down, that's what God is. He created us in his image. Right? We are to have a sense of belonging to celebrate each other. We are not created to be alone. Genesis. Do you know that's before sin entered the earth? Right? That's before they sinned. God said, you are not created to be alone. So alone is not a bad thing. God created us that way. Right? I'm not just talking marriage. I mean, in general, we were not created to be alone. We need each other. I'm not saying codependence. You hold each other like this, but we need each other. I need Jesus in you just as much as you need Jesus in me. Not only that, guess what? I wasn't created for me. I was created for him, right? And if I'm created for him, I'm doing a Todd White thing that I heard the other day. If I'm created for him, right, then I'm set free from me. And if I'm set free from me, I'm set free from you. Therefore, you can't hurt me. You can't hurt me. That's a huge revelation. That's something to ponder, right? There is nothing more accelerating than loving and being loved. That is our inheritance forever and forever. Because some people do die with their song never being heard by someone else, the song that is within them. The reason we love so much that it's in us, both receiving it and being accelerating and giving ourselves to it, is because we are created in God's image. God is love, and we are created in his image. The Father has a plan. He says, I'm going to reverse this whole thing, this loneliness that man lives in. God answered this loneliness is to raise up spiritual families. That's us. You know what? We're the answer to the world. Bless the programs out there. Bless them. But you know what? We're the answer. You know what? We're being overtaken right now at Urban Hope. Trish is out there doing the barbecue, so I can't get her in here to say. We are getting so many calls from family services. We have 5 women in the last little while. We have 4 calls last week. They're calling us to wrap around women. okay, coming, I mean, we're going to do, we make sure they're not in breathing, make sure they're not drinking. So we check on them daily and we do a chart, right? So that they can get their children back. We are the middle people, right? We are the middle people, just like we did with Dawn. Where's Dawn? Is Dawn here? I think she's down. Dawn. But just like we did with Dawn. Hey, Donnie, I'm talking about you. Right? We wrapped around her. Yes? Yay! Right? Who else in the audience here? right? And then Amy, who's had the twins. She would have had her children taken away. We're giving life out there. And they're calling us. They're calling us. They said, man, we can't believe what you guys are doing. We were in the hospital this week with another girl that's getting off meth. And her daughter's, you know, that was born is getting off the addiction, right? The baby, right? But they call us in. This was a brand new worker, never met her. And they're like, we can't believe what you guys do. You're blowing us away. Because we're restoring families. If we didn't wrap around Dawn, where would you be, honey? Would you have Gianna? There you go. Amy, she's not here. She would say the same thing. How about you? Right? If we didn't put our time, invest it. Can you hear? Sorry. You guys can't hear her, sorry. Yeah. See, she was able to keep her on her own. I'm telling, because I could have ran over there and gave you the mic, but... So woohoo! Do you guys hear that? Right? A little bit. Basically, she would have had her daughter taken away, right? For a long period of time. Yeah. I want to say hi to, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for coming up. One of our peeps from downstairs. So yeah, you know, it's awesome. It's awesome what God is doing. Our voice is being heard out there. You know, they're calling on us to help them restore families. That's God. Because God is a family God, right? He's more family than anything else. And he says to us as the body of Christ, he says, you are need to rise up as family. It says that the plan of the Father, he says, I'm going to reverse, yes. Because you know what? The greatest killer out there, I know it's drugs and everything, it's loneliness. Loneliness is the greatest killer out there. What's that? Speak on that. That's another time. But I'm hitting it a bit, okay? Hitting it a bit. Yeah, and that's what caused you down the cycle. And that's where we are commanded as the body of Christ, right? It says God, it says in Ephesians 4:16, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to effective workings by which every part does their share, causing growth of the body, which a joint supply means that we are each a vessel that supplies a demonstration of love of God to others. Okay, we are to come together. I mean, we know the saying, if I'm a hand and if I'm not connected to the body, I'm really no good. You know, so we really got to get over our issues and connect to each other because we are the one that's going to make the difference. We are. I have at the very end, and I apologize now, I'm going to show a little clip of Todd White. It's right in the face, but it's good. Okay, he loves us, right? But it lines us up. So anyhow, it's been lining me up. It's good. So we have to connect to others, and we have to express this intensity the way God loves God. God wants us as spiritual families dwelling together. We are the local church. We are to give love. We are a witness about the truth of his fatherhood and see and experience how the Father loves his people. Jesus' primary revelation was, yeah, God is a God of all power. Yes, he is, in all splendor. But he is a father. He is a relational God. He thinks, he feels, he acts like a father. He wants us to share the life of the Trinity with the redeemed and the unredeemed. He wants us to invite that so they can come and enjoy the empowerment of that love. Okay? God, he's passionate. He waits for us. And therefore, we are called to take the initiative. We are called. Okay? We are called to build strong relationships of love. Our temptation to passively, that's what I have, to wait to be pursued. Many wait for this spirit of entitlement. Let's own it, right? We should not wait for someone to befriend us. We are to take the initiative, show kindness by serving people, hearing their story without demonstrating that they have to hear ours or serve us. You know, and it talks about kindness. It says, I'm going to just talk briefly about patience and kindness briefly. But kindness in Proverbs 3 and then verse 3 to 4 says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on your hearts so you will find favor and good report in the sight of God and with man. Kindness is pretty kick butt, actually. But let's pull back into patience because it says love is patient, love is kind. They're two pillars, right? Kindness and patience go together, but we are to be completely humble and gentle with each other, being patient, bearing with one another in love. That's Ephesians 4:2. Like I said, I'm going to throw a lot of scriptures at you. No one likes to be around an impatient person, really. Let's be straight up, right? Anger's clawing at the door, trying to get in, and impatience stands there and waits, right? Right? Because patience stops problems in their tracks. They do. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered, he is a folly. Patience is where love meets wisdom. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one replace another with evil or evil with evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another. Guys, it's so easy to dig dirt on somebody. Oh, my gosh. Right? We are gold diggers. Gold diggers. Do you know what? God sees you totally different than how we see each other. You know, I was reading about this lady. She was just praying in the Lord, an intercessor lady. And the Lord brought her to heaven and then in this vision. And she came back down and she was at her congregation. She started to see them with the glasses of the Lord. And it was totally different than what was in the natural, right? We are to pray from there, not from here. Authority is at the right side of Jesus. We call down what God has already put in somebody. Didn't he say before the creation of the world, I thought of you, I have plans to prosper you, to move you forward. It's beyond understanding in Jeremiah. We got to pull that out of each other. Pull it out. Right? If we get frustrated, go soak with God and get drenched in his love to pull it out of that person. So after patient is when love chooses to suffer long for the greater or good of another. The more patient you are today, the more victories you will celebrate tomorrow. I'm just going to cover suffering and then go back to kindness and then we'll enter into something else. Suffer long. What does suffering long mean? Does anybody know? You know I'm doing this so I can drink. What's suffer long mean? I'm so used to youth, they respond back to me. What's suffer long mean? Yes. Even if you don't like it, that's the other side of suffering. How about suffering when it's hard? Now, don't get me wrong, as I'm preaching this, you still need to put healthy boundaries because that's healthy. Do you know what I mean? If someone keeps taking advantage of you, love is also not enabling somebody, okay? So there's got to be healthy boundaries. right? But God does command us. He says, it means, okay, long-suffering, meaning when the person deserves a judgment, a harsh judgment, you don't give it. To suffer long is passive. There's nothing you do. It's what you're not doing. You're not venting. You're not paying them back. You're not giving them what they serve in the negative sense, what they deserve in negative sense. It is long. And then there's an act of love, which is kind. It's giving to people that what they don't deserve. Get it? The difference? Do you guys get it before I move on? Right? They don't deserve it. So in long suffering, you're holding back, right, what they deserve, and then you give to them the treatment, the love of what they do, what they don't deserve. Kindness, you're giving them what they don't deserve. And that is how God treats us. So that is the love we are to pour out to others. Does he not treat us that way? Right? So it takes the Holy Spirit and it takes a commitment to love Jesus in the secret place, out our heart to this in the secret place, as it is said. Then we get filled up, we are effective, we see man the way God sees him, and he remembers the love that we walk out. It may not be evident even on this earth, but I'll tell you, he will remember for all eternity, because love never fails and is always noticed. Right? Kindness, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, giving each other as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Sorry, forgiving each other. Kindness. Okay, patient is how love reacts in order to minimize a negative circumstance, right? Kindness is how love acts to maximize the positive circumstance. So patient avoids a problem. Kindness creates a blessing. Does that make sense? We need the two to go together. One is preventive. The other is proactive. When you're kind, people want to be around you. They actually do. Patient kindness. People like to be around that, right? They know that they feel safe. People need to feel safe. And we need to make people feel safe, right? Proverbs 3, verse 3 and 4. Do not let kindness and truth leave you, bind you around your neck. Helpfulness and being kind means you meet the needs of the moment. Your willing kindness inspires you to be agreeable instead of being reluctant, stubborn. You stay flexible. Blessed are the flexible, they shall not break. Don't we say that all the time? Right? We initiate kindness. We think ahead. We take the step. The one who greets first, smiles first, serves first, forgives first. They don't require others to get his act together because we're showing gape love. And now when I'm saying that, I'm still talking about putting healthy boundaries around you, okay, because that makes us powerful. So when you see I need them, you meet them first. You will never learn how to love until you learn to start to stand and demonstrate kindness. Okay, does that make sense, everybody? I'm doing a lot of reading here because I want to make sure I have a lot of scriptural base. All right? So, also compassion. Jesus was, and that is with it, you know. Compassion means you suffer with somebody, right? Jesus always suffered with people. He got down. If you looked at when Lazarus died, right? He knew he was going to raise him from the dead, but he chose to sit down with the two sisters and weep with them. And they have proven that when you, hold on, I got to find my sheet. But when you sit down with somebody and choose to relate to their pain, okay, to go in with them, okay, they've proven the brain, okay, this is a study, you can check her out, all right? If you get a 5-year-old kid, he's being bullied at school, okay? So let's say from 1 to 10, okay, he's at a 5. Okay? Then you get another kid, it's horrific. His dad dies. So this is like 1 to 10, it's off the chart. Okay? But he has family members and people around him that sit there and they relate to him in his pain and they help him walk through it. They've proven that the brain releases a chemical that releases healing. Right? So that person is better off than the one that didn't get related to and he's at a level 5. And we know that people who struggle with drugs, those that have been through trauma, our emotional levels will stay there because we weren't able to face the pain. We have to face pain. That's how we mature. But we have to do it with each other and with God in a safe place. And we are commanded as the body of Christ to do that for each other. We are, because we're the answer. Guys, say that. We are the answer. You are. So, you know, I just wrote down this thing. It's called empathy, right? And I think even the woman at the well, not the well, the adulterous woman, when they brought her and they all wanted to stone her to death. And Jesus, and there's so many debates what he was writing in the sand. But anyhow, he didn't judge her. I think he was relating to her pain. And it set her free. God is not so much trying to fix us. He wants to connect with us. Because he's a family God. Do you need water, big guy? No, okay. Lord, heal him up, Lord. So, he's a family God. Yes, he's the head of the army. But he's also head of the family. A lot of people out there don't see God as a kind God. Right? Oh, church. No, he loves you. He really does. That's why we need to be that family where we embrace people and bring them into family. Right? People downstairs, they know I love them. Do you know I love you back there? Do you know I love you? You coming up? He doesn't see me, guy in the wheelchair. What's his name? Do you know I love you? He just came up. Oh, now he's hiding. I'm so proud he came up. So, you know, but I try to be there as soon as the door opens to notice people. Let them know I care for them. I'm not trying to convert them. Do you know what? They come into the family. That just happens. That happens. Right? I share the gospel. Don't get me wrong. But I'm living the gospel. Right? Love. When you love someone, you give them God. Right? Where's Betty? Betty always says, yes. I live what I say. You know, she always, because she's in our overcomer group. Which I should tell you that. Something we're doing. The people don't know we're doing at Urban Hope. I'll tell you briefly. What time I'm done? Okay. So I'll tell you briefly. So overcomers, this is so kicking awesome. I've been waiting on the Lord to give me a Bible study, right, for downstairs. I know some of you in the leadership heard this. And I couldn't find anything, right? And then I went out because I'm connected with these guys. They run Goshen House. It's a man's ministry, okay? Awesome guys. So I'm out there, and he connects me with all these other street ministries from Hamilton to London and everywhere. And the street ministry, it's a jail ministry lady. She's doing this Bible study called Overcomers and helps people walk through addiction lifestyles, but just deal with anything that you're powerless over. Anything that you're powerless. Who's not powerless over something sometimes? You know what I mean? And I looked at him and went, that's awesome, Lord. That's what I've been waiting for. I've been praying for so long. And when I walked in the door, she didn't say anything. She just smiled. And she goes, I want to talk to you when you leave. Because I walked in late because I was cleaning up down here. And she says, as soon as you walked in the Lord told me, you are to bless her with all those books and videos. It's $420 of stuff. She gave it all to me. Isn't that God? And we've started the program, you know, and this one girl who just gave her life to the Lord last week, actually, it was Myra. Is Myra here? She gave the book to her. Maybe she left. And as she's being so encountered by God, and she comes from such abuse background, was introduced to drugs like at 10 years old. It was just insane from her parents. And so she struggles with fear. As she's been reading the book, she has no God grid. She goes, I was never brought up with God. No, God encounters her. And she says, I can't stop talking to him. That's what she says to me. And she says, the fear has just left my chest. That awesome? That awesome. So I prayed for her some more, and she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was awesome. It was a highlight of my day, right? And so anyway, these guys are coming in. We're doing this overcomer group, you know, and it's kicking awesome. God is so good. This is really just his wave, and I get to enjoy, we get to enjoy it, right? It's all him. So I just have a few questions. I mean, a few things to help you when you choose to validate somebody. Choose to stay connected, right? It says you tell them that you're saying, I see you. You're telling them, I choose to understand you. I'm choosing to understand. You're telling them, I care about your emotions and your experience. I can connect and join you in your emotions, and I'm glad to be with you. That's where healing comes, when we sit with somebody. You know, if we walk that out, right? Humans need to feel understood and loved. Jesus values connection that brings healing. That connection is what brings healing to people, because he chooses to connect with them. Goal with God is to connect with us and not trying to fix us. That comes through the relationship, right? He's a family God. That's why we're family. That's why we're made in his image, which is in love, right? So the long and the short of it, Jesus returning, okay, for a church filled with glory that is established with every tribe and nation. I'm talking the full bride of Christ. I'm talking we are to connect with everyone. You got Jesus in you, I'm connecting with you, even if you don't have Jesus in you. But you know what I'm saying? I have people downstairs helping me. My main cook doesn't even go to our church. Do you know what I mean? We're connecting because it takes the full body of Christ. It takes us joined together to do our part. You're going to reach somebody and love somebody that I can't in a way that only they're going to receive, right? Because I might be a finger, you know, you're a whole hand, whatever, I don't know. But, you know, we need to do our part. Jesus, so he's returning. His glory includes his love, power, and insight being manifested as believers to one another, that he might present himself as a glorious church to the world. We know the scripture says that the earth is groaning for the sons of man to rise up. We are the sons of man to rise up, right? So I'm challenging, not only are we to do that out here, we're to do it within us. You know, it says in the book of Acts, as we study the book of Acts, that when they came together, they gave of each other. They didn't own nothing. They gave everything as one, right? And not only that, actually, I'm going to go back to the book of Acts at the end, but I'm going to say something, actually, another chapter. It says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. That's Matthew 6:18-9. Jesus promised to release his authority to bind the works of the enemy and to loose it and release the works of God. We are commanded to do that. No one else, right? We are the one with authority to do that. The phrase gates of hell speaks of Satan's authority. Jesus promised that the power or authority of hell would not prevail against his people. That's pretty intense. I couldn't care less about the enemy. I'd rather hear what God's saying a lot more than the enemy ever says. He's this annoying fly, right? If God wants to tell me something, he'll tell me about the enemy. But I'm just telling you, right, that we prevail, right, against the works of the enemy. It says, hell would not prevail against his people when they function as a kingdom community, a spiritual families as we are local churches. Imagine a people to whom the enemy has no inroads. Wouldn't we be a serious light, serious salt to the nations, right? That's what we're supposed to be, right? Where each believer is walking free from every demonic influence in their life and in their family. The condition for the fullness of this promise is that his people function as spiritual families. God has ordained the local church as a place of the greatest power, the blessing, protection, and safety. He is challenging and understanding and expressing of the church across the nations as we connect with each other. The promise of a victorious church operates in the power and the context for God building the local church, in which the strongest ones pursue the weakest ones. Did we get that? Strongest ones pursue the weakest ones? The fullness of God's purpose and power can only be experienced as the body of Christ functions together, walking in our full destiny, identity, and corporate. See you guys. Corporate is connected to pursuing weak people in love. Then we can comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know and express and experience the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That love is so intense that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Do we not want to be filled with the fullness of God? You know, there's a place where I go deep in God in my private place, but there's only a place where I can go deeper when we corporate come together with our heart actually completely abandoned in the Lord. We need each other. The first and the second commandment go together. We need each other, right? We need to press into God together. We need to not just love Him. We need to be in love with Him. The Lord says that if you are grateful for the way I have loved you and pursued you, and for you, how much you are to go out and give that same love to others. God wants you to be people that invest into others. There are many things I do not get from the Lord if I do not choose to give out to others. It allows my heart to expand. The Grinch's heart gets bigger. Right? God reveals His love to me as I give out to them, and He shows me more and more of His love. It is common for people to pursue on the conditions that they will get something in return. Jesus calls us to a greater love. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward is that? For even the tax collectors do the same. Did you like that? So I should wrap it up. What time are we?